Hello, I am Sarah.
And I'm Pam, and together we are
Dos Chicas in Design. We are friends, fun girls, and fellow designers.
We have conversations about design and how it affects our everyday life.
And we want to let you peek into our world.
So let's get to it.
Well, Pam, welcome to Utah.
Thank you. I'm here. I've been here for
Pam and I.
Almost 2 weeks. Tomorrow.
Oh, wow. Already. Wow.
I know.
Yeah, we actually haven't seen each other yet. We're just like across the mountain. But like there's no straight way to get across the mountain. Like we have to get around. And there's no public transportation. So we're planning on meeting next week, hopefully. But yeah, but we're the closest we've been in a very long while.
I know. I think in 3 years or so. So it's exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yet the topic that we are talking about today actually has nothing to do with this, but it has a lot to do with something that we have experienced quite a bit, and that is fairly common if you are in a creative job in the creative industry. We're talking about creative blocks.
Mm-hmm. So have you ever experienced the creative block?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I would say I'd say like the moment that you start working in something creative, you start experiencing creative blocks. I feel like that when we're younger and we do creative things for fun. Maybe it's not that they don't exist, but since you're doing things for fun, you like don't really notice if suddenly you're blocked and cannot get something done. But I feel like ever since I started school and creativity became part of my homework, I started experiencing creative blocks. Yeah, the moment it becomes a responsibility, because sometimes, like, even if it's just a hobby, but if we, like, tell someone else, oh, yeah, I can help you with this and this, I feel like you're putting yourself in a position when you can start experiencing creative blocks.
I think that when your creativity is tied to any sort of accountability, for anything, if it's your homework, if someone is going to see it, if it's going to be shared, if it's part of your grade, if it's part of your paycheck, or if you're helping someone, so the outcome will affect somebody else, it's just not free, like entirely free anymore. So it automatically, well, I wouldn't say automatically, but it is likely or just possible that you will experience insecurity, perfectionism, which I'm sure a lot of creatives experience, or even like be blocked creatively, even if it's temporarily. You know, sometimes people say, oh, I don't have any ideas, so I just don't know what to do, or, you know, so I feel like that those are circumstances in which it could happen.
Yes, I agree. And it really makes me wonder, like, if creative blocks are just like a response to anxiety, like if it's related, like it probably is. I haven't done like any research on it, like psychologically how it's linked, but it wouldn't surprise me if that's actually what it is, like either like a side effect of anxiety or a side effect of depression, or something similar. Because I feel like you can get it in different ways. You can get a creative block when you're like worried about something and you want it to be perfect, so you don't know what step to take because you think the process has to be perfect. But then there's other times where it's more like, I just don't want to know what to do. I just don't feel like doing anything. It just doesn't come to me. Like, forget about this. I don't even want to do it anymore. So I feel like both ways are, like they resonate very much with other symptoms that apply to anxiety or depression. So like creative block is pretty much just like the way that mental health affects our creativity.
Mm-hmm. Because, you either like are blocked and Like sometimes I am, like my mind is still like hyperactive, like thinking about a bunch of things, but I'm still blocked. Like I still can't get through or finish a project or even like finish a design. Sometimes I can even get myself to the pencil or the pen and start drawing. Like it's horrible. It really is, because I feel like sometimes people who haven't been through it are like just design, you know, just go and draw.
Yeah, they're just like, just grab a pen and do it.
I know, and I'm like, well, I know it is a simple thing. Like I understand it should be, but I have been through very lengthy periods on which I love drawing and I just don't want to do it anymore. And it's not just like frustrating, it's also a little scary, because just when I decided I wanted to make a business out of it, now it's harder to draw, so I feel betrayed by my own mind. So it can be a little, you can feel a bunch of things, and it can be frustrating, it can hold you back for a long time if you don't fight it or try to overcome it.
And now that you mentioned that sometimes you do have like your brain going on and like brainstorming ideas, but it just doesn't come across, and that actually makes it worse, because it's like, why can I picture it so well in my mind? And when I try to do it, it's just not at all like I'm envisioning it. And it's like, I should have the skills to create what I'm picturing in my mind, yet it's not working. And there's just like this disconnect between our mind and what we're actually creating, and that makes it even worse, because then we're annoyed at ourselves and we are frustrated, and that just like fuels into the same creative block, and then it's like, okay, then I'm not gonna do it. Like, yeah, it can be a very, very frustrating process. And I have not met a designer that hasn't gone through it. And I'm sure like it applies to a lot of different creative fields as well. I mean, I've heard a lot about writers. And there's always like ongoing jokes about how like writers, like the least thing they do is actually write. But it's because of the same thing, because they're just like thinking about it and not knowing where to start and not even wanting to write anymore. And so it wouldn't surprise me if this is like very common in a lot of different fields. You're muted.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, and it is a comfort once you experience it and learn that first, you're not the only creative, and second, it happens to a lot of people, because creativity isn't particular to art or design. Creativity is part of everyone's life, and I think even when you have a situation in your life where you can't find a solution, you're experiencing some sort of creative block, because creativity is vital to problem solving, right? Like thinking outside the box, yeah, or trying to do something different, so on and so forth. So everybody experiences it, and it does make you feel better. One thing that is very frustrating for me is when I let that kind of affect the way I see other creatives work, you know, when I start comparing myself. And so I have been filled with, and you know, I don't like to talk about it too much because it's embarrassing, but it's also true. Like when I go on social media, especially, and it's probably because of the way social media and creative businesses are now, but it is so easy to compare oneself to everything you see out there. Especially because, I mean, in the world of lettering is just everywhere. Like there are so many people doing it. And when I started, I didn't know that, and I was so excited. And then little by little, I realized, like, it's, especially in Costa Rica, like so many people are coming up with it and doing business and doing good, like good work. And it's just so easy to compare yourself. And then at the beginning where I was like admiring and learning from, I have been filled with like bitterness or like you know, when I see it now, I just compare myself. I don't even enjoy the work anymore. Or that's happened to me before at times. And it can really just block me and bring me down. And it's hard, you know, it's hard because to me, enjoying other artists' work is, well, first is something that it's always been like a joy. Like I just love it. It inspires me. It just kind of sparks creativity in me, which is what I want to do with my work too. So it kind of just ruined that for me, the creative block. And also, I take a lot, like I learn a lot from others' work. And so if I'm not focused like on their work, I'm just focused on like how it compares to mine and how it makes mine less or not as good, whatever your mind is telling you. It just kind of, it ruins the whole thing. So that is something that I have had to work through. And it wasn't easy, but it does feel better when you can overcome that part of it. Have you experienced anything similar?
Oh yeah, but actually, I think this is a good lead-in into like talking about what we can do to help us, because and this is just giving me like a lot of like vibes to that episode we did about I think it was imposter syndrome, because it's very similar. Mm-hmm. Because imposter syndrome creates a creative block to make us feel when we feel like, man, like there's all this stuff going on and they do so well, and what am I even doing? Like, is it even worth it? It's like it's exactly the same process. They're just feeding off each other. So I'm like getting like all the vibes back from when we recorded that episode. And so I think there's different things, and we can talk about some, like about a couple different ones, but there is one that I think helps a lot, that relates a lot to this topic, and that relates a lot to something that we're actually both of us doing right now, which is taking a social media break. Because my problem is when I'm on social media too much, and especially on a visual platform like Instagram, I'm just seeing like all the different things that everybody's doing and thinking, oh, I should do that. Oh, I should do that. Oh, I should do that. And then I'm like, have like all this like information overload, like, and even like sensory overload in a way. I'm like, I've seen so much, I've heard so much. And I'm just like, what should I do with all this information? Like, I feel like I need to do something. I feel like I need to do more than what I'm already doing, but I don't even know where to start. And that just gives you like, just like a content paralysis where I don't even know where to start. Like, and so I end up not doing anything. And that's actually one of the reasons I started my social media break, because it helps me focus on doing things because I want to do them and not because I feel like it's what everybody online is doing, so it's probably what I should be doing. And the same applies, for example, with there's this thing right now where like Instagram Reels are like very relevant, and Instagram wants you to do videos to be able to stay relevant on their platform. And you feel this pressure of like, should I be creating content that is like, hey, look at me pointing at like this and this and this, and should I do that? Or should I do a little dance? Or, and it's like, I don't really want to do it. That's not what I want to do. I want to do, if I'm going to do a video, it's because I'm showcasing something that I want to do. But I can feel that now because I'm not being overloaded with all the things of like, Instagram wants you to make videos, Instagram wants you to make reels, Instagram wants you to use this music, Instagram wants you to do this. It's like, Instagram is not my boss. It doesn't get to decide what I'm creating and what I'm not. But it's very easy to feel that pressure when we are constantly surrounding ourselves with that with that kind of content that is telling us that that's what we're supposed to do. So I started a social media break about 2 weeks ago, and you started it this week, I think?
On Monday.
And I think it's just like a nice big refresh, because it's like shutting down one of those voices inside our head that's telling us of like, you're not doing enough, or that's not what you should be doing. You should be creating this instead, or look at all these other amazing things and you are not creating anything that's as pretty as this. Like that voice, like a big part of it comes from social media. And by taking a social media break, you really are like shutting it down. So that's exciting.
It's very interesting. I can obviously relate to everything you said. I think that, I mean, if you're one of those people that has taken it in tow and just, you know, faced and succeeded at the challenge of keeping up with Instagram, I think it is awesome. But if it affects you emotionally, like it has us, for example, I don't think you should let it, like, just beat you, you know, like there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to use Instagram, even if it is in different terms. It's just hard because all you can see, and obviously what you can see the most of on Instagram, is people who are actually up to date with the algorithm and they're trying. And you know, sometimes I used to be like envious and like, oh, you know, it's so easy for them to make reels and stuff like that. But then one day I was like, you know, even if it's easier for them to like make video content, they're still working a lot to make this content. So, I mean, it's great for them. And let's be real, I really enjoy video content too. Like, I consume a lot of it and it's really helpful. But when you feel like you should be doing something, I've been feeling this way for like over a year. The pandemic just made it worse. And I kind of rebel against that idea. Like, why should I be doing... Why should my ideas or my content plan come from what everybody else is doing? Like, I don't mm-hmm. appreciate that. Like, I just don't do it. There's no motivation. Nothing makes in my body or my mind moves for me to start doing something just because everybody else is doing it. So what I usually do, which has been terrible for my account, is I shut off. I go on Instagram. I just don't create content. So I am basically on a break because nobody sees me, but I just don't announce, I don't engage, nothing. It's like, it's bad. So this time around, I decided to sort of plan it. I didn't announce it to like in advance or anything. I just decided to make a post about it so people would know that I hadn't abandoned my account, which was actually, I followed your advice on that. But so I decided to make it like a purposeful break of social media, and it's not really social media, it's just Instagram, because as much as I'm trying to spend less time on it, I'm really busy with work and just visiting family and everything. I don't really spend that much time on it, but I still feel the pressure of creating content, and that is really affecting my creation process, like my creativity, my ideas. Like, I have all these ideas, and whenever I'm like about to draw, it's absurd, like nothing comes out, or what comes out is like not, I don't know, it's just weird. And because I'm thinking that I have to share it or that somebody has to see what I'm doing, it affects the process. And I've been having this experience for, I want to say it has been more than a year, and I've been really afraid to step back from Instagram entirely, you know, to not even go on it. Like, that scares me. But I decided I was going to be really busy, and I really needed to give it a shot, like to create practice. Like, what I want to do is practice without feeling that I have to create content that everybody else will see, you know. So I decided to do it, and it has been pretty great. I mean, I'm still using my personal Instagram because I didn't say how long I was going to be out, but I am planning an entire month, or at least 4 weeks. And that's a long time, but I am in a different country. So if I see something cool, I might still want to post it on Instagram, on my personal one. So I didn't really shut off social media entirely. But, you know, I decided to do it with my business Instagram, which is the one that makes me feel that pressure. And it's only been 3 full days. It does feel different. Like whenever I go on it, I don't feel like I need to go and check another account. You know, I just kind of check it real quick or maybe make a comment that somebody tagged me on and just get out of it. Like I do feel different. And I am hoping it is going to help me because I used to be really mad at Instagram. Like I had like all these negative emotions. I was frustrated. I was like upset. I was comparing myself to everybody else. And I've been trying to let go of that. You know, it's just the social media. I know it's important, but why should it make me feel all these things that are kind of just taking over everything? So I don't want to hate it. I still want to use it, but I do have to do it on my terms if I want that relationship with it to be a little healthier. And in my creativity, just to flow, you know, or to work because it's been stunted for a while.
Yeah. Do you have any other like methods or advice or tips to help manage creative blocks, to help overcome them that might not necessarily be related to social media?
I journal. It's yeah, crazy, but I have a list. I haven't been able to journal like in 2 weeks and it's not good. But what I do is I make a list of topics to journal about. And I used to separate my journal. I've talked about this in business and personal. And that was just a jumble. Everything is together. And so I make a list of questions or just things to journal about. And I've noticed recently that my list has just creative topics. I have a problem with color combination sometimes. Just I get blocked and I think it looks terrible and then everybody's like, oh, that looks great, and I'm like, really? So I decided to journal about that. I have journaled a lot about my relationship with social media, with Instagram. So I journal about it. I try to decide why I feel a certain way and what I need to do to feel better. We've talked about this plenty. It does work. It does kind of, some of it stays on paper and kind of just, I feel lighter and it helps me kind of move forward. So that's another thing I do. What about you?
I completely agree. I think journaling is just amazing because journaling for me has been like the tool to help me understand my own mind. Because very often, like, we have a creative block and we don't know why. We don't know why it's there. We don't know where it came from. We don't know what is triggering it. And we don't know how to, like, clear it off, like, clear off the path or make it go away. And I feel like journaling is really, like, the tool that helps me do some, like, introspection and be able to like analyze like what's going on in my head. Like it really helps me get to like the root of the problem and then like work based on what I find. And I know journaling is not for everyone, but I think everybody should find some sort of introspection tool that helps them find this. Like, because for some people it's not writing. For some people, if they wanna start writing, they actually have blocks and they don't know what to write. But it might be then like having like that same conversation that I have on paper with myself. They can try having that conversation with a loved one, and that's gonna help them introspect themselves. It's kind of like therapy. Pretty much journaling is like therapy, like on paper, which is why it works so well. But yeah, everybody should have like a go-to tool that they can use for this, because I don't know what I would do if I didn't have journaling or conversations about things that help me look inside my brain and understand what's going on. And I think that is really a big thing. Another one that I recommend in general, like not just from social media, but just like take a break of whatever it is that you're doing. Like it might be social media, it might be, I don't know, if I have to work on a collection of graphics, like take a break from that. Don't even think about it and give your mind a break about thinking about the thing and try to get distracted with something else. Like, ideally, like for me, it works really well to just like disconnect in general from technology and go to nature. That helps me a lot because it helps me put things in perspective in my mind. And it helps me, like when I come back, I can see things in a different way. And so right now, for example, I'm taking that social media break. And then I also spend like the whole weekend in nature, like with like my phone not working, which is, so at the moment of this recording, 2 days ago, we had a social media outage, like Facebook, WhatsApp, Instagram, they were not working. But like that didn't affect me very much because once I'm on a social media break, and two, I still use Messenger, which was also down, but I had just spent 2.5 days somewhere where I had no service. So it didn't really make much of a difference. And that just helps us like connect better to ourselves because we have to stop relying on opening up our phones to tell us like, what am I supposed to think about now? What am I supposed to like work on? What am I supposed like? No, there's nothing telling you anymore like what to externally think about. So you gotta like use your own brain and distract yourself with something else. And then when you come back to work on something, it's a whole different perspective that you have on it. So I feel like taking a break plus introspecting yourself, that's probably like the ideal combination. And I feel like there's more things that I do, but I think those are the main ones that like again and again I've been using.
I think in that thing you mentioned, taking a break is probably the first thing everybody should try. Because I'm guessing that a lot of the time we are probably just kind of overwhelmed with either information, tasks. I take a nap sometimes because sometimes it's just stress. Sometimes it's just like I'm tired. I'm overworked. I'm overthinking. My mind is just, you know, going everywhere. So taking a nap, like a little power nap, helps sometimes. Going on a walk. I have it in a while, but I listened to the Creative Pep Talk podcast. And there is an episode where Andy talks about, I can't remember the words he uses, but you know that state of flow? The state of flow in which you're working,
yeah, you're time in the flow.
Doesn't seem to pass, and it's a thrill, you know, like state of flow is amazing. But he talks about kind of just, he says something like, study yourself to understand what gets you into that, you know, and there are habits that can help you. He says something about like he writes in the morning or he takes a bath, and there's stuff, there are just things or habits that we can implement that will help our mind, you know, sort of like your body to do an exercise, like stretching or whatever. Like there are things, and sometimes just healthy habits for our body will also kind of enhance our ability to let our creativity flow. You know, it's amazing, but sometimes our mental health is the thing that is keeping us, that is holding us back. And their mental health sometimes, or I mean, I'm going to say sometimes, or not most of the time, is affected by habits or even our health or sleep cycle or whatnot. You know, there is a lot to say about that. But it's interesting because that made me think, and I did a lot of journaling about that. Like, I'm not sure what gets me into a state of flow. Like I know what habits help my mental health, but I know there are things I can do that will kind of get me going, you know? And so I made a list of things to experiment on, and I haven't really finished it. That was a few months ago, but you can experiment too. Instead of just letting it take hold of you and be frustrated and just cry, I cry sometimes, you can try different things and see what helps. I think Lauren Home from Home Sweet Home. She talks about, well, it's just a whole big thing now. I think she's gonna actually go into like cook like something else in a few years, but she does a lot of like,
I think I read baking. A bit about that.
I know, I love her. Like baking or cooking and stuff like that to like as a different creative outlet. And I'm not much of a cook, but I've been trying to bake a little more because baking, I don't know, baking is just different than cooking and I do really enjoy it. So not only do you get a treat, but usually you share it with people. You don't usually eat a cake or a batch of cookies by yourself. And it's just easier to follow instructions on baking for me, even if it takes longer. And it's a challenge. It is a challenge for me. Now, Lauren Holm, she actually does lettering and creative stuff with it. So she gets creative with it. But to me, it's just something different. It does require me to work with my hands, which is what I do best. And it's turned out pretty well. I mean, I haven't tried too much, but this Sunday I made apple pie for the first time. Mm-hmm. It was good. I had too much of it. Yeah.
Nice.
Well, my aunt has two apple pies in the backyard. So, yeah. Nice. And I've been dreaming about those apples and pie ever since you got married. Remember, we had a bunch of apple pie. It was with the apples from the yard.
It was so delicious.
I had to make some. Mm-hmm. So doing stuff like that is really good for my mind. Like, it's really good also when you're anxious to like do something that requires your attention. So that's another thing you can try. Just try different things and see what helps. And it might be easier than you expected.
Okay, I have two things regarding everything you just said. And the first one is going back to like getting to know ourselves and figuring out what helps us get in the flow. Very related to that, it's like knowing how to manage our energy, because we cannot ask of ourselves to do something that requires a lot of focus, a lot of energy, if our energy is like low, if we are tired, if we're just not in the flow to do it. And I think part of like of figuring out like our habits or our rituals that can get us into like the right creative mood, it's also important to like figure out when we work best and how we can perform at our best. And I think that's been life-changing for me to like pay attention to like what times of the day I can do certain tasks better. Because I have like calls and podcast recordings and those kinds of things. I do it in the morning, not because I'm great at it in the morning because I'm still half asleep, but because other things I'm really bad at doing in the morning. If I have to like start conceptualizing like some logo designs, I'm not gonna do it well in the morning. Like it's like if I have my notebook right here, like my sketches notebook, which is like not my journaling book, is like one for like when I have to design things. It's this huge notebook and I could just like lay here for like hours trying to figure out something in the morning. It's just not gonna work for me. It's gotta be like starting mid to late afternoon and actually into the evening, because my brain very much gets into like brainstorming ideas mode in closer to the evening. And so figuring that out about myself has helped me organize my schedule around how my brain and my energy work better to do certain things. And that helps me just not be stuck in the morning with something that I just won't be able to do it because my mind's still tired. My mind is still just like, why are we not back in bed? So getting to know like that same thing of like what we can do. It also reminds me of like when I'm doing an intensive, when I'm doing like a VIP day, I usually prepare things like, okay, the day beforehand, I prepare the food because I know I won't be able to focus on food. And before we start the VIP day, I do like a bit of yoga and I turn on a candle and I put on some focus related music. And that gets me into the mood of like, okay, we're gonna have like an 8-9 hour day today, but we can do it. It's just for one day that we're gonna work like intensively, that we're gonna see a lot of code, or that we're gonna spend a lot of time on Illustrator, like depending on the type of project. But like we have those little things that help us feel more relaxed, that like help our brain be like, okay, no, we can do this. We have done this before and we can do this again. And so figuring out those little things, it's kind of like, I don't know, it sounds kind of like cliche, but like going and grabbing like that specific tea that helps us like start the day feeling more soothed, or having a playlist that helps us focus. Like there's like little things that it really seems like out of like a TV show, like a quirky character from a TV show. But you know what? It's because that quirky character from that TV show has figured it out. That's what can help you get into the creative mode that you need.
That is amazing what you just said. I think small routines are very helpful. I have a hard time giving into routines for some reason. I think, I don't know. And so I think like exactly like you just said, if you're watching a movie and you just think like, that doesn't work. Like, I think my mind automatically goes to that, although my experience is the opposite. So, but there is like a meditation, an essential oil, a tea, or a time of the day, or doing this first, or doing a little yoga. Like all those things can actually get you on the right mindset to just fight whatever block may come during the day better. So I agree completely.
And you know, like I am not a person that has like routines for every day. That doesn't work for me. But I have like routines for like specific things that I want to do. Like if I'm gonna be doing this, then I know that this and this is what's gonna help me. And it might be something that I do like twice a month. But it's like instead of creating like daily routines that for me they get after a while boring. Like I can do them if I'm like have a specific goal, like okay, this week I want to be able to achieve these, and it's like a long-term goal, then I can create habits around it. If it's longer term, then I can't. It's just hard to be able to keep to them. I feel like, no, that's not what I want out of life. I want life to be more spontaneous. But if it's something specific, it makes me even like look forward to it. Like, oh, okay, so this is gonna happen. Okay, that means that day I'm doing this. And it, not just for, I feel like not just for work, but just like a lot of things in general. Like when Cameron, my husband, before COVID, he used to go to LAN parties 2 or 3 times a year. And they would go and like play video games till, like all day and all night. And so like I made it my thing. It's like, oh, a LAN party. I already know like what my routine for that day will be. Like, okay, we're probably going to do laundry. We're probably going to like work on cleaning this and this. We're gonna watch a movie or a TV show. We're gonna have sushi for dinner. Like it has like this little thing that instead of being like sad, like, hey, he's not spending the weekend with me. What's up all that? It's like, ooh, it's like that one day, like that I get to do like all this alone time and I literally just make like a self-care day for myself. And so like, it's not just like for work, it's just for like overall. And that's not for everyone, but like that works so well for me to like plan things out that way. And it's kind of like reframing everything instead of making like, oh man, I have to work on this like 8-9 hour project today. It's like, oh no, today we get to have like an 8-9 hour project. Like I have an excuse to not reply to any emails because today I'm just focused on this because I hate replying to emails. So like reframing things in a way that, that makes me excited about it, and then my brain is going to react much better to it. And this kind of leads me to the second point that I wanted to do based on what we're talking about, that you were saying about baking, cooking, finding another creative outlet. Yes, that's totally something that I've done before and I forgot about that. As creatives, we like being creative, not because it's like the best job in the world. It's because we like being creative in general. It's because like that's what we are like called to. Like we love the idea of like creating something, whether it's like art, whether it's food, like we're using our hands to create something. And I feel like often we forget that. We live in a society where like hustle culture is like glorified. And I remember a while ago, years ago, I got into painting again because I hadn't done any painting that wasn't related to like homeworks when I was in college. And so I graduated. I'm like, I want to go back to like drawing and painting because it's fun, not because it's what I need to present to my teacher or whatever. And I remember like doing like this like stuff. And I'm like, ooh, I should like scan these and I could make some patterns like and textures for it. I could probably actually like sell that on a shop. And it's like, no, Sarah, stop it. That's not why I want to paint. I want to like be able to like just like have fun and relax and for a second not be telling my brain we need to do this to make money or we need to do this to be productive. And I feel like that's something that happens very often to us as creatives. Like we do something and we feel like we have to like, oh, I'm a creative, so I should probably do this and sell this. It's like, no, I'm a creative. I need to be creating things because that's what makes me happy. That's what brings me joy, what gives me purpose in life. So it's been good to find certain outlets that I know I won't be monetizing. And not because I didn't like try in the past, but because I just know for now. And there's like little things like baking, like when I start, I don't do a lot of baking. I actually don't do a lot of cooking either. It usually stresses me out. Unless there's like 2-3 times a year where I'm actually feel like I want to do something that's completely different to everything I've been doing. And I look for like a recipe on Pinterest of like with food that I already have. And I go and try to do something different. And I'm actually not that great of a recipe follower. Like I like, oh, what about if I do this? What about if I do that? And it's fun at that moment, but also like the problem about baking and cooking is that when I think about it, I'm usually already hungry. So it's like, I don't mm-hmm. want to take the time
Same.
To actually do something fun. It's just like, I want to eat. So that can work for me sometimes, but not always. But for me, like doing my nails, that mm-hmm. has become a creative outlet that just soothes me. And I used to be very much into like doing tons of nail art. I have so many rhinestones, stickers and tools, like, and it's like, and I'm just gonna do my nails and it's just like little art for myself. Like, I'm not gonna go around like telling people, hey, can I do your nails? And I'll charge you $100 because I actually spend a lot of time on it. No, it's like, it's just something I'm doing for myself. And it's gotten to the point where it's not even about painting them. Like right now they're not painted, but it's about like getting the nail, cleaning it up, filing it, cleaning, like pushing the cuticles and like it just soothes me. It puts me in this like mode where I'm like doing something with my hands that makes me feel good, that has nothing to do with work or with productivity or with like hustle culture, like nothing at all. It's just like me taking care of my nails. I was camping this last week and I came back and my nails were so gross. I'm like, why did I get so much dirt? I'm not even touching things. So Sunday evening I took all my tools, cleaned them very nicely, like filed everything down, put like a coat of just like base so that they would be like nice and shiny. And it's like cleaning a canvas in a way. It's like I'm preparing something where I'm like later on gonna like do the work. And we are gonna have actually another episode that's about creative outlets that are not related to work. But really having those creative outlets, I feel it's just like hitting a refresh button for our brains. So
everything you said, again, I relate with, but Lately, I mean, it seems obvious, but lately I have, I guess, learned this lesson again of why creativity has changed my life. I've always liked drawing. I am sure I've always been a creative person in a way. I used to be more focused on school, and I was going to go in, I've talked about this before, I was going to go into science and everything. But when I look back in my family, and then I guess in most families, people who like cooking, like I have a lot of people in my family who like love cooking, and they are really creative in the kitchen, and they are, I mean, it's amazing everything they make. And I'm like, it's so funny how they really enjoy it. But whenever I take the time to cook something, there is a magic in the satisfaction of just doing something, creating something with your hands, whatever it is, even if it's following a recipe. I mean, as frustrating as it can be when it doesn't work out, it's the same thing with art. So my mom likes crafts a lot. She doesn't do like a bunch of different crafts, but there are things that she likes to do that she'll, and I only noticed that recently. She's always had like materials and stuff to make, you know, crafts and make presents for people and stuff like that. And my aunts, they're very good. You know, they do stuff like with their hands that is amazing. And, you know, they make presents for other people. My aunt makes amazing cakes. She's an incredible cook, the one I'm staying with right now. And so it's just, you know, that I've been paying attention to the little details of creativity in my family, but in other people's lives. And it just comes down to the satisfaction of doing things with your hands. And I have, some people are more into like doing things with their hands than others. And that's what I've been paying attention to. Because I have a few friends who love, I have a friend who made this. She just made it with her hands, you know. It's okay. I know. Beautiful. She makes all these things and she just makes them. And so I compare myself to her because she's the one that got me into lettering, and now I do more lettering than she does. But she likes lettering, coloring. She has all sorts of tools. She sews. She makes quilts. She makes like little wooden figurines, like paints them. She made me a Doctor Who. She always makes the presents. She gives me the presents like for my birthday and Christmas, and they're always amazing. And I'm like, she's just doing it to do it. You know, she spends like time and money and practices and gets better at it. And so we are the opposite. She just wants to like make things and it makes her feel good and she gets good at it. And me, whatever is like you, like whenever she makes something that is good, I'm like, you should be selling this. You like, I have told her like, you for real, you should take this one thing that you make and you should start selling it. She's like, really? I'm like, it really, yes. Like, I know. Like, I don't know what got into me. I got into this entrepreneur brain or something. And I go around telling people that you could sell that. Like, what you did is amazing. So she's
the blessing and the curse that we have as creatives.
I know. And so she inspires me to just do things to do them. And so when we get together, we always plan to do some, even if it's just like bullet journaling, but we sit down together and we either draw or do something. We've been meaning to carve stamps. We've been trying to do that for a year, but it's fun, you know? And then, so I, it just makes me think, it seems obvious, but just the magic or the satisfaction from creating something, or even the challenge from facing a skill that you like, learning a skill that you don't have yet. But you keep trying until you accomplish something. I mean, it doesn't have to be a masterpiece. It's so amazing, you know? And so I know it sounds silly, but I have journaled about that too, like to help me remember why I like to make things with my hands. It's not just to sell or to make money or a business. I do love it. I do like doing things with my hands. So maybe that's why, you know, you like following a recipe from time to time, or like baking something new from time to time. It can be stressful though. Like something happened to me on Sunday. I'll tell you later because it's really embarrassing, but I had to start over. So it can be really, oh my gosh, it was bad. but I didn't let it overcome me. So it was a success story, but I don't know, it was satisfying. You know, it just, I feel like it kind of boosts your self-esteem and your confidence to make something with your hands. It's right there. You made it. You can do this. You can do other things. So that's why it's important to get to know yourself and try different things. So that's what I wanted to say.
No, I love that. And I think it's a good way to wrap up our episode. Mm-hmm. But fear not. We have a number of episodes that are very much related to like creative working that we're going to be having in the future. So this is not a topic that we're going to let go. We're going to talk quite a bit more about like creative processes, creative outlets, how to differentiate hobby from work. So stay tuned, because that's what we're going to be diving deeper now. Any other closing words or ready to wrap up?
No, I'm pretty sure we're going to talk more about this. We ended up going a little bit more into the creative outlets and the creative block, but I think it's because we have a lot to say about it and it felt good. So hopefully this will inspire other people who have gone or are going through something similar.
Well, the thing is, when you have a creative block, you don't want to focus on like how blocked you are. You want to focus on like how you want to get inspired again. So then let's jump in into our next segment, which is the recommendation for today. And Pam, what do you got for us today?
Okay, so I watched the movie this week. It was amazing and everybody should watch it. And you know what? Maybe a lot of people have already, because I was late to it, but I watched The Tomorrow War.
Okay.
Have you seen it?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, that movie is incredible. I loved it. I loved it. So I think I also like Chris Pratt a lot. So, but it's a great movie. If you haven't seen it, you should. It has a little bit of everything I like to see in a movie. So it was really good. Some time travel and stuff. So that's my recommendation for today.
All right. I like don't want to say too much, because I feel like whatever I say might be a spoiler. So let's just say it's very interesting. It takes an interesting turn, and the message is actually not what you thought it was going to be.
I know. It's so good. Yeah. It is a good movie. It's just a well-balanced movie. You know, it's exciting. Suspense has like plot to it. I don't know. It's just good. So I think if you haven't seen it, just watch it. You won't regret it.
Yeah. It's on Amazon Prime included for free. So if you've got Amazon Prime, you're going to be able to watch it.
That's true.
So next up is what we're up to. And if you want to, I'll start. So like I said, I'm in week two of our social media break, and we've been working on a lot of different things to create connection outside of social media. And it's also the beginning of quarter four. So I feel like I have so many plans. More than anything, it's just like a lot of plans that we have. But we have an event coming up on Tuesday, October 12th, to come and RSVP. We have two different times, so it's important that you RSVP so that we know to which one you're coming to. But the idea is that we just want to connect outside of social media. We want to connect in a way that's different to just like liking and swiping. Like, it's going to be actually seeing each other on Zoom. And we're going to have like a little class on like tips and advice for user experience. And then we're going to divide in little groups, so people can just like brainstorm ideas on how to improve. Like, they can come up with something specific, like, hey, I'm doing this and this. I'd like to make the process like easier for my audience, or can I get some feedback on my landing page? I don't know, like whatever people like want to like talk about that's related to user experience. And so it's a chance to connect with other people, meet other online businesses, and come hang out with us. Because the thing is, I'm not in social media, so I'm not seeing a lot of people. I can write a newsletter to a lot of people, but that doesn't mean that I'm actually seeing them and connecting with them if there's no way for them to talk back to me. So that's why we decided to have this little like Zoom hangout to be able to actually connect, to be social outside of social media. And then we're also working on our Black Friday plans, which we actually do not participate in Black Friday per se, because it's very stressful to me to do Black Friday, because that's the day after Thanksgiving. So my ideal long weekend is not being on a computer running a sale, like answering questions. I like spending the Friday after Thanksgiving just like with my husband, chilling, watching a movie, cuddling with my dog, really actually taking like some days off. And instead, we're going to do a cyber week, which is what we did last year as well, that we start the Monday after Black Friday. We do a whole week where we have like a special deal going on. And at the same time, we also do like a give back week. So like they start at the same time, because in the marketing out world out there, there's Cyber Monday and then Give Back Tuesday. But I feel like a one day thing is too stressful and doesn't really go with our vibe of like doing things at our own pace. So we like doing like Cyber Week and at the same time Give Back Week. So we use the Cyber Week to be able to give back to someone or something. So we're nailing down the plans for that. If anyone is interested in being an affiliate, we invite you to join our affiliate program, which means that you can tell people about our deals and you receive a commission when someone buys. If you're interested, you can go to stargazestudio.com/affiliates. Let me check. Yes, affiliates, the Ness at the end, and you'll find all the information there about things that you'd need to do, and you can then join if you're interested. And something fun that we've also been doing that started last week is that we started this tradition last year, which is that during quarter four, every Friday, we feature a different freebie that we introduce to our newsletter audience. So we get to feature some of our freebies, and we're actually working on a new freebie that's going to get featured one of these upcoming Fridays. But we also like showcasing just like people that we like, people that we enjoy their content, just like business friends that we know also cater to the same audience and that can provide real value to the people that read our newsletter. So in our case, like people in our newsletter are like online business owners, online entrepreneurs, small businesses. So all of these freebies cater to that specific area. And so every Friday, you just receive an email like showing you someone else, like this is our friend Cassandra, or this is our friend Pam, and this is the freebie that they have. And that way you get to learn about other people that have similar work values to what we do, that provide really good value, and that are usually like in an adjacent industry. So for example, we provide design and branding. So the people that we introduce you to might provide like brand messaging or copywriting or social media management, like different things that then can help you in areas where we don't help you as much. So if you're interested and you like learning and you're ready to like meet other business owners that are helping people promote their online presence in a way that's like, it's like heartfelt, it's like human first approach, then you will want to sign up to our newsletter to learn more about those Freebie Fridays. You can do so by going to stargazestudio.com/visit. At the bottom of the page, there's a sign up form. You sign up and then you'll be able to receive the next Freebie Friday. And at the end of quarter four, then we do a roundup where then you can see like any Freebie Fridays that you missed. Although some of them have like a limited time expiration, so you might not be able to like get all of them during that roundup, but most of them will still be available. So that's, I think that's about it. Like, we have a lot going on because quarter four is starting. There's a lot of content and collaborations that we're working on that you're going to see later in the quarter, but I think that's a good summary of it.
Wow, that is a lot. How cool.
Well, we figured if we're not going to be on social media, we got to do something fun with our time to like still engage, mm-hmm. still connect with others. So that's our plan. What about you, Pam? What are you up to?
I am up to no social media for my business. Just, I want to get back to drawing frequently. which I haven't done in a very long time. I have a lot of other work, so that's going on while I am here in Utah. I'm going to be here most likely until the beginning of December, so just having time with family. We have a lot of people here. I'm not the only one that came for my cousin's wedding. So my sister, her husband, her kids, my other sister, my cousin, we're staying for quite a while. So we have a lot of family plans too. So that should be fun. I'm really excited to be here in the fall. There's a lot to eat, a lot to see. And yeah, that's it. I just have a lot of plans. And I am working on something that hopefully I can launch by the end of in November. And I have another project that I wanted to launch in October, but that didn't happen. Hopefully at the end of the year. But I don't want to talk about those right now because they're still just right here trying to overcome that block. So yeah, that's it.
All right. And we're hoping that when we get together later this month, we might be able to do some fun stuff for Tuticas in Design. So stay tuned to that. That's going to be exciting. Thanks for joining our conversation today.
We would love to hear your take on everything we said. So make sure you follow us on Instagram at Tuticas in Design with the number 2 or on Facebook under the same name.
So little side note, you do want to follow us there because that's probably on Instagram where we're going to show up when we're together. So we might go live or we may meet some stories, but do go to Tuticas in Design and we'll see you there. So see you on social media.
Bye. Bye.